executive session is number 35, is that correct?
I need to remove persons from the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for 4958. And we could ask for them to remove themselves. And here is Amanda.
And
okay.
They have to identify.
Who's the journalist?
There's a couple of journalists.
Bennett Hall and Stephen.
Ben Mason, probably.
Mitchell. Or the Blue Mountain Eagle.
Curly. Can I just remove? And Terry is next. Okay, just remove. And media, okay.
Okay, you put the media back in?
Media is in. Steve Mitchell is in, yes.
But didn't you say there was others?
Yeah, Bennett.
And Bennett Hall.
Okay.
They're both in.
Okay.
Do we need to tell them not to report?
8826, I don't recognize that. Those are all from other... So I think we're good to go.
Okay, so we have the respondent for item number 35 with us?
Yes.
That's correct? And so we're addressing the items number 29 through 35. Is that correct?
Yes. That's correct, right?
Okay. We will start with... correct me if I'm wrong, Director Burson. We can start with item number 29, though we have the person responding as of 35.
Well, I think we ought to do 35 and then just have her address it.
Separate recommendation.
Hers is separate from the other ones.
Ron, should we have the chair warn the press not to report on anything?
Yeah, and you do have press.
I'm sorry.
Just a second, folks. So Dan, I'm sorry, Chair Mason, you do have press in this. I think it would be prudent for you to remind them that they're unable to report on what they hear in executive session.
Thank you for that reminder. So we do have press in the room, and it is not lawful for you to report on anything. You're obviously here observing. And we'll begin with item number 35, the case of Amanda Schroeder, former board member of Centennial School District 20J. We have a staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Mason, Commissioners. Item 35 is a preliminary review report from Amanda Schroeder. She is the seventh of the board members for the Centennial School District. However, the other six cases have a different disposition or different recommendations, so her case is substantively different. The facts of the case are based on allegations that the Centennial School Board held two executive sessions in which they were considering hiring the superintendent's resignation and hiring a new superintendent. However, in holding those executive sessions under subsection 2A, of the public meeting law, they failed to meet the statutory prerequisites of advertising the vacancy, adopting hiring procedures, allowing public comment, etc. In this case, however, for Ms. Schroeder's case, there were two executive sessions at issue, May 12th and May 17th. Ms. Schroeder explained to us she was not present for the May 12th meeting. She did attend the beginning of the May 17th meeting, but when she realized what they were doing, she got so upset that she exited the Zoom meeting and immediately tendered her resignation from the school board. Given that she was not present in the executive session during the substantive portion, she did leave, which accords with the advice we've given to other members of boards, that when an executive session discussion goes awry, you need to state your objection on the record, and if you don't want to be held responsible, you need to leave. In this case, because she didn't attend the first and she left the second, we are recommending that the case against her be dismissed.
Thank you for that report. And then do we have Ms. Schroeder with us. Is that right, Ms. Schroeder?
I am present. Do you hear me okay?
Yes, we do. Thank you. This will be your opportunity to present to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, if you so choose, at this time.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for the work you do. It's incredibly, incredibly important. And speaking to this particular situation, and I will just keep it at this particular situation, I think it's really important that there should be I think Jess Harding and Sunicha Chihitri should be especially considered because our board was a pretty toxic environment with a very, very controlling chair. And people who are fairly new to the process aren't going to understand, and they're more easily swayed and bullied by people who've been in the process for a long time. I thought that this whole thing was outrageous, and on May 12th I would have said so, except for my husband had an aortic dissection, so my life completely stopped for an amount of time. And Ms. Myers is correct when she said that when I found out that we were essentially interviewing Mr. Owens for the position of superintendent instead of you know, being transparent and having the process of hiring a new superintendent, possibly or probably with better credentials and maybe a woman, maybe a person of color to represent in Centennial. We were instead just sliding someone into that spot like we did last time, and I found that to be very unethical. And I am sorry that I did not file this complaint. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for that presentation. Any questions from commissioners to staff?
Commissioner, no, I got a question. Yeah, I'm just trying to. My concern here, as I'm thinking through, I think I'm answering my own question. But my concern here is by moving to dismiss that we necessarily put ourselves in a position contrary to those that remain. But my understanding is that the other question that's on the table is to proceed just with investigating, moving into the investigation phase of the others. I'm just wondering if we're hurting ourselves or hurting the process somehow by dismissing this right now. But I think the answer is no, because she simply wasn't a part of what was considered. Am I thinking of this correctly? Looks like Commissioner Hollister shaking her head, yes.
Director Burson saying that as well. Okay. And Commissioner Fiskum. Yep. Commissioner Hollister, did you have your hand up or were you good? Okay.
No, just gesticulating. Apologies.
No worries. Any other questions or comments? If not, we will accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, hearing no further comments, I will move that we accept the staff recommendation to dismiss the complaint involving Amanda Schroeder, a member of the Centennial School District Board of, former member of the Centennial School District Board of Directors, item 21-177-XSM.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on this motion? And seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Ms. Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Ms. Schroeder, for joining us. This matter has been dismissed. And we will move on to item number 29, the case of Pamela Shields.
Commissioner Mason, the respondents for 37 through 42 are in attendance.
Yeah, but you should finish.
I stand corrected. So we will go to item number 37 in your meeting book, the case of Haley Walker, Chair, Board of Directors, Rank County School District, number 3. And if we have a staff report.
Thank you, Chair Mason and Commissioners. Again, for the record, I'm Lisa Kristen, an investigator with Oregon Government Ethics Commission. I do want to point out there is an attorney, Rebecca Jacobson, appearing on behalf of all the board members as well. I believe Ms. Haley Walker was also appearing. I wanted to point out that they did waive confidentiality. All the matters may be heard at the same time if that works for the commission.
Thank you.
And one last little housekeeping matter. The case of Kelly Stokes, which is 21-197XLC, is not a mirror image, so I'll be addressing the first five cases. Stokes has a different recommendation based on the facts. Respondents are members of the Grant County School District number 3, Board of Directors, and public officials during the period relevant to this preliminary review. Complaint specifically alleges that the respondents participated in an executive session of the Grant County School District on August 19, 2021, during which violations of ORS 192660 occurred. Based on the August 19, 2021 agenda, the notation in the public minutes, and the information in the complaint, it appears that the executive session held by the Grant County School Board on that date, August 19, 2021, was held pursuant to the statutory authorizations of ORS 192660-2F, subsection F. A review of the existing executive session minutes indicate that the discussion had at the executive session primarily concerned general policy regarding employees who may choose to remain unvaccinated despite a recently imposed government mandate, as well as the employees and students and other visitors to the district property who may not wear a mask on district property, despite, again, another recently imposed, at the time of the meeting, mask mandate. Although respondents correctly note that there was mention of several employees who might be identified by position, and the assertion that, although not contained in the minutes, some employees were identified by name, from a discussion I had with Ms. Walker and Ms. Jacobson, I was advised that even though it did not appear in the minutes, there were specific employees named by name, as well as what was in the minutes was an indication that there were employees named by position in a smaller school district. Some employees were identified by name in the vaccine discussion. The remainder of the executive session concerned general policy discussions. As well, respondents note that at least a portion of the discussion at the August 19th, 2021 executive session concerned attorney-client privilege material which had been prepared for an earlier executive session. Information available at preliminary review indicated that the attorney-client material was not mentioned in the executive session minutes for that date, nor was there any indication that it was presented to the staff on that date or discussed. The attorney-client material provided for the earlier executive session addressed the July 29, 2021 mask mandate and not the August 19, 2021 mandate requiring vaccines for all teachers and staff in K-12 schools. In other words, there was attorney-client matters that were discussed and that we have discussed again with counsel and with Chair Walker about one portion of the mandate having to do with masks. The vaccine mandate did not come about until the same day as the executive session. That was August 19, 2021. So there logically or factually wasn't advice given on that particular issue at the earlier meeting, or again, the information we had at preliminary review indicated as such. From information available to staff, it appears the discussion had at the August 19, 2021 executive session of the Grant County School District Number 3 Board of Directors may have gone beyond the announced statutory basis. The preliminary review report is in your meeting book with a recommendation that the matter be moved to investigation. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. Ms. Jacobson, this would be your time to address the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. I know you've heard from a lot of lawyers, so I will keep this brief. I represent the Grant School District, which you may know is in John Day. It is a smaller school district, and that is very relevant here to the conversation. So this is all about that August 19th executive session, and what is important for the commissioners to know is that this comes from the newspaper's complaint. They weren't at the August 11th school board meeting in which I was present and presented advice related to the board members' questions about noncompliance with the governor's order. And in that case, it was about the mask mandate, but the good majority of that advice was also applicable to what to do about this new vaccine mandate and individual board members' liability, what happens with noncompliance, those type of issues. That's relevant in this case because the newspaper wasn't there. They wouldn't have had that context. It makes sense that they would have some concerns that the board had exceeded their authority here to go into executive session to receive that legal advice. The second piece of confidential information that was appropriate for the board to enter into executive session to discuss under 2F relates to the confidential medical information. Again, this is one of those gray areas, I suppose, but there were individual employees mentioned. Their individual health information was mentioned in the context of, will they get the vaccine? Will they not get the vaccine? What will that impact have? And I understand that concern that the board may have exceeded their authority in that discussion, and that it would sound like a policy debate, but this was a very specific conversation. The board has a practice of not putting individual names into the minutes, which is in compliance with the law to have a discussion in the minutes be generally summarize what the discussion was without that need. So the district asked an individual school board members. We just wanted to bring that additional context to your attention as you consider this preliminary report. That additional context was provided during the investigation by Board Chair Walker, by Board Member Aaron Llewellyn, and there are belief that the newspaper may have omitted some of that information, and that was relied upon heavily in this preliminary finding that you are receiving. So our ask of you, of course, is that you dismiss this at this stage and not take the investigator's report to move forward. We believe that if there were a discussion, to the extent there was a discussion beyond those two confidential bases, Chair Walker did correct the board and move back into those pieces. So it was not a substantial violation of the Ethics Commission's rules. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you for that presentation. Do we have any questions from commissioners for either staff or Ms. Jacobson at this time? Seeing none.
Actually, I do.
Okay, Commissioner Lindsay.
Okay, so I mean, basically, we just have the allegations, and then that went beyond the scope of the executive session, and Ms. Jacobson's answer saying no, it did not. Right, that's where we land at today, right? Does the staff have anything else besides what's in the written report?
I think the written report quotes from, as Ms. Jacobson pointed out, this complaint came to us from a newspaper, you know, report of what had happened at the meeting. And there were quotes indicating that there had not been any legal advice discussed at the 19th meeting. The legal advice at issue, again, was apparently tendered at the executive session, which occurred on the 11th of August, that they're not at the 19th meeting. And that was an issue for people, media present at the meeting raised this concern. Moreover, when you look at the executive session minutes, which again, because they're confidential, I do not include those in my preliminary review report, but I do think in my report, I referenced them as well as indicated my review of those executive session minutes. The minutes were very brief. They were, and again, this isn't relevant necessarily, except that they were handwritten on a sheet of paper. So there was very, very little information to go on. I did attempt to talk to, Haley Walker, and I did attempt to talk to the people who had been quoted in the newspaper as saying that there had been no attorney-client privilege and there had been no legal advice, and basically that there had been a policy discussion of generally what are we going to do if people, for example, come onto campus without a mask on? And again, why the general policy matters, did those exceed what was cited as the specific statutory basis? We, again, in our discussion, did indicate, and I did indicate in my report, that the minutes were silent as to specific people being named as to vaccination status, for example, or whether or not they would be willing to wear a mask. The point is, beyond those named individuals or personally identifiable individuals, again, from the information we had at preliminary review, the executive session minutes, the article in the Blue Mountain Eagle, as well as conversations with staff members and with other people who had been present at the meeting, it appears that the meeting discussion at the meeting went beyond what was cited as the statutory basis into general policy discussions.
Commissioner Halstead.
I just want to make sure I'm grasping the sort of fine point here. So, Investigator Kristen, so if we just assume that names were named, or that was part of the conversation, the concern here is that in addition to that conversation about specific individuals and their perhaps exemptions or medical information, there was a sort of robust policy discussion about how to handle the mask mandate. And that's the concern that second piece occurred in executive session, and there was not an exemption that would have applied to that policy discussion. Is that
correct?
Right?
That's okay. Absolutely correct. And let me just add one point to that. There was a statement by an unnamed member of the board who indicated that they believed the discussion should have been had in public session. About the policies related to, again, two huge mandates coming down, but that it should have been, that discussion should have been had in public session. But yes, you're absolutely correct. It was an information that was discussed that fit within the statutory authorization, and then there was a discussion that happened that may have gone beyond that.
Okay, so the benefit of moving forward with investigation, we would get a better scope of that, a better understanding of the scope of that policy discussion.
That's correct. We are very limited in the executive session minutes, which, again, is not something I'm, you know, claiming we have jurisdiction over. I'm just saying that that's what we had to work with. And then we did have conversations with relevant members, but I did not get to speak to everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Lindsay.
And so if I understood correctly, you said that one of the board members did state that that went beyond the scope of the executive session. Did I hear that correctly?
Not exactly. What they said was this, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, this should have been a public meeting discussion.
And who said that?
I don't know. It was a member of the board. I wasn't able to identify who it was.
Okay, that was just in the notes that you reviewed.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question.
Commissioner
Fiscom? Thank you. Ms. Kristen, I could probably answer this question myself in light of what you said, but I'll allow you to answer it if you're willing, which is give me just a quick summary of what you would do if we move forward.
That's a great question. I think in a lot of cases where we have minutes that maybe don't paint the whole picture for us and we're relying on conversations from people, I would like to hear from everybody that was in the room and hear what their take on it was, especially given that there seemed to be, and I'm not relying completely on what the media had reported, but the media did indicate that there was seemed to be some public matters that were, even among the board members, there was some dissension as to whether or not they should be public meeting or executive session meeting. So I would like to talk to everyone that was in the room.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Commissioner Lindsay?
I guess I just have some additional procedural concerns here. If this Mr. Hart, who is the media person, was not there in person and makes these allegations, I'm just concerned that people that aren't in participating in meetings can just randomly make an accusation to spend your time on this. Am I thinking of this incorrectly? Is that concern unfounded? Does anybody have a comment on that my concerns?
I know that we often rely on the media reports, a lot, oftentimes in own motion cases, so we're relying on those, and our job is to determine whether or not there's validity to it. our preliminary review analysis here did indicate that, again, the executive session minutes weren't 100% clear on what exactly happened, but did support what had been reported in the media to a certain extent.
Commissioner Lindsay, I would just add a quick comment for me. If I vote to move ahead with this, I would do so regardless of what the media has said about this or what the media has not said about this. The issue that would prompt me to vote in the affirmative on such a motion to move ahead would be what Ms. Kristen said she needs to do to verify the distinction between public and private matters and executive session law, regardless of what the media might happen to say or not say. So for me, I set that aside and don't even consider that in a decision for me about what to do on this matter. That's a friendly comment to your question, which I appreciate.
And that's why I support Lillian Ford, is because what she said that she would do. I just wish there was a little bit check and balance to have a little bit substantiating background in allegations, but I get that allegations are allegations, so.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. I have a question for staff. Is the only minutes, I'm assuming there's no recording, because you haven't mentioned that there's no recording of this meeting?
I was told there was no recording.
You only have the handwritten minutes? That's the only record, really, of the... and so then you'd have to individually interview every one of the participants?
Correct, and that's an approach we've used before where there were simply no minutes taken. I mean, here we do have a written record, but there have been cases, Chair, you may remember that there haven't been minutes, so the need is to talk to each person and try to get an understanding of what occurred.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments from commissioners? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, hearing no further comments, I will move that we accept the staff recommendation to go forward and investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Haley Walker, item 21-186XLC, on our October 22nd agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner. Executive
session agenda, pardon me.
Discussion on the motion.
Just to make sure Ms. Walker understands that this is, as forebearers used to say, that this is simply a decision to proceed to understand better. It's not a reflection on a decision that's being made by this commission.
Mr. Chair, I would simply underline that as a generalization. I think what we're moving to do, if we accept this motion, is to get more information. This is not the definition by us of saying that a violation has in fact occurred. We are getting more information. That's a distinction that for me is very important, especially if the media is watching what we do, which is its prerogative. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Any other discussion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 38, case of Aaron Llewellyn.
Mr. Chair, hearing no further comments, I will make a motion that we accept the staff recommendation and move to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Mr. Aaron Llewellyn, item number 21-193XLC, on our October 22nd agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 39, Chris Labhart.
Mr. Chair, I will move that we accept the staff recommendation and investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Ms. Chris Labhart. Item number 21-194XLC on October 22nd agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 40, Colleen Robertson.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the staff recommendation to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Colleen Robertson, item number 21-195XLC, on October 22nd agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 41, Jake Taylor.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we accept the staff recommendation to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Mr. Jake Taylor, item number 21-196XLC, on our October 22nd executive session agenda.
Any discussion? Seeing none, a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And the final one of this group, number 42, Chair Stokes.
If I may.
This may be a separate item, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep, separate item. Nice catch.
Thank you.
So if we can go start with the staff report for...
There's some going back to item 29 for Centennial.
No, we don't need to.
I just did.
Good.
It started with Amanda Schroeder that was in the middle of them.
That was a different school district.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. So the final one for the Grant School District Board of Directors is a different set of facts. If we can get a staff report on this.
Thank you. Chair Mason and Commissioners, again, for the record, I'm Lisa Kristen. This is the matter of Kelly Stokes, Grant County School District Number 3, Case Number 21-197XLC, page 371, item 42 in your meeting book. Ms. Stokes is a member of the Grant County School District Number 3 Board, but was not present at the August 19, 2021 executive session of the board. The executive session at issue, as such, the staff is recommending that the matter be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for our investigator? Otherwise, we accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I will move that in the matter involving Ms. Kelly Stokes from the Grant County School District, item number 21-197XLC, on our October 22nd agenda, we agree to dismiss the complaint.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote on this.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, so where we are at, do we have, I guess we have item number 43 with us?